about that passage is that later on, John goes on to identify the Word as Jesus Christ, who embodies the very Word that is in the beginning with God. It's interesting that when the early church decided to keep this book in the canon, which is so different than the other Gospels, the Synoptic, we call the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they were kind of overlooking the fact that John is incorporating thought from the Greek world and is reinterpreting the message of the person, Jesus Christ, in terms of this Greek idea that there is a pre-existing Word, an eternal Word, a logos. And the function of that logos is to be a conduit of the divine and inaccessible to us ordinary people. It was a really radical kind of thought that was introduced into a pretty conservative faith tradition, the Jewish faith tradition at that time. And so sometimes we don't understand the context, we don't see how radical it is. John, in some way, was throwing out some theological baggage about what God was in order to bring in this new idea about logos in the Christian life. That there's a way in which we can be connected to the eternal mind, the eternal sense, through this human person of Jesus. A radical new idea. And so today, we are going to think a little bit about throwing out theological baggage, because the New Testament authors and the early disciples of Jesus certainly were people who threw out a lot of theological baggage and sort of started their faith journey over. They had the freedom to do that and the courage to do that. And because they had the freedom and courage to do that, we continue on in that tradition, doing the work that they started. Not the work that they completed, but the work that they started. Throwing out baggage that we don't need. Have any of you traveled overseas? So, you know that when you travel overseas, you're going to be there for a while and you get either 20 or 22 kilos in your bag. You don't have any more than that. And Carrie and I have been over so many times and taken so many groups overseas so many times. You know, we always have a digital scale at our house just for the purpose of weighing the bags to be exact. If you've ever gone through your bags, you realize your bags are overweight, and you hit that time where you need to thin down, there's a process that goes through your mind, isn't it, about what baggage I really need, what baggage I don't need. And what is the criteria you use for the baggage that you are going to for sure take with you and what baggage you're going to throw away? Think about that for a minute. For me, one of the criteria was always, well, you know, what is irreplaceable? If I can get something replace what I want to carry, then I can just leave it here, I can replace it with something else later. And what is irreplaceable? What are those things we cannot do without? When I think about the theological baggage that we have to sift through as we make our journey, as we go on our journey, as people entering into modern and postmodern age, we have to use the same kind of criteria, don't we? What are some things that we can throw away and not miss? What are some things that are replaceable once we get to this new world? And what are some things you absolutely cannot do without? And those questions are really important. I just want to get your ideas because you all have been on this journey longer than I have, most of you. What are some things that you recognize as theological baggage? Right? And theological just means sort of beliefs or thoughts about the Christian tradition that you have leave behind on your own particular spiritual journey. Are you get enough courage to just shout that out? Something that's part of the theological baggage you kind of have to leave behind. Anybody have an idea?
The obvious. Omniscient, omnipresent, right? All the obvious.
The omniscience of God, the omnipresence of God, right?
All powerful.
Right? That God intended the death of Jesus. That's a salvific for us, right? Anything else?
Yes. Confucianism.
Maybe in a way, I haven't found that out.
Seven literal day creation.
Right? Some of us in this church grew up with that kind of background. Anything else? Right, that God is a man. That's a particular gender. Even the idea that some of us have really struggled with the idea of God is personality. There's a person-like force in the universe. That's something that we struggle with. Human beings are depraved and born as sinners.
Interesting.
Okay. Yeah, even about the rituals of the church, right? We sometimes have to leave some of that behind, like the belief that communion is only available to those who have passed some ritual test or so on and so forth.
Salvation is an experience that is one time rather than a process.
That's salvation, right? It's a one-time event only, and it's not a process that continues. Interesting. That God decides individually whether people get sick or die or healed. God is a cosmic puppeteer. Women are second classes. If you hear a lot of these, you can tell that a lot of these things that we struggle with, their theological baggage, come from the scriptures, and some of them come from the scriptures themselves, but some of them come from the church tradition that was built up around the scriptures. But the scriptures themselves, we remember that the scriptures were written in a particular social context, and we have to understand that social context. And part of our journey as a church, family, we who are a progressive congregation, we've gone through that journey. Understanding the particular social and historical context of scripture, and we realize that the context in which these scriptures were written, even though there's maybe a 700 to 1,000 year span in time between the separate books of the Bible were written, even though we recognize these great diversity within the Bible, by and large, the context in which these were written was a patriarchal culture, a culture that was very concerned with insider-outsider taboos. It's a culture that is 3,000 years old in the sense of what science is like. It's a culture that very deeply valued oral history and oral stories, and that's not the way that we work today. And so sometimes when we open up Genesis chapter 1 and we read about the earth being created, and it sounds like it was created in 7 days, we think, well, those people who heard that story originally must have thought that that's actually how it happened, without understanding that they, back then, I understood this just as a moral story to encourage people to think about the purpose and sense of creation. Our sense of what the genre of scripture is sometimes deep. And so there's all this baggage that we sometimes have a hard time jettisoning. And the key for me has been, this is my own story, and I think you can reflect on your own story as you try to free yourself from some of the baggage that maybe we grow up with, or that we hear from the culture, or quote-unquote Christian radio, or Christian, quote-unquote Christian literature, which is largely kind of fundamentalist in its assumptions, is that we've had to go through the process of really trying to understand the social and historical locus of scripture, and then to think, what is replaceable in our day and time for what was appropriate back then? What should we simply just cast out because it doesn't apply to you? We don't accept those assumptions anymore. They're not our assumptions. And then what is that kernel of truth that lasts forever? It's irreplaceable. You have to have it in your bag so you go overseas. Everything else can be ditched but this. What is that thing? This is a very important question. This is why I titled the message today. Is, and I'm not going to go much longer. Let me hear that. This is where the title of the message is. I'm just starting. into Lisa 581. Is it, do any of you know what Lisa 581 is? I just learned this last week, so I don't know how I've been a long time ago. But apparently there's a solar system that's about 22 light years away from our solar system, and it's, the solar system is called Lisa 581. It's a small red dwarf that's about the size of our sun in the system, and it looks like there's about six planets, so it's still contested how many planets in the system. But Lisa 581c, which is the name of one of the planets, has been determined in like 2007, 2010, and several studies done on it as a planet that's probably habitable by humans. And the climate is probably so similar to the Earth that we could probably survive there if we could get 22 light years away and be there. Which is to say that this is, you know, in space terms, 22 light years away is around the corner. You can have a habitable planet that's around the corner from us. We can see it with a telescope. We can see the star with a telescope. It's in the Libra system. And so if we can see this star in a telescope, the implication is how many planets are there out there in the universe that are capable of sustaining life? Far more than we could imagine. Right? And one of the things that helps us sometimes to get rid of our theological baggage are the new discoveries that humans make as we walk along our journey. And then those new discoveries force us to ask questions that our theologies that have brought us up to this point haven't asked so far. And then, wow, we find what a new thing that we can throw away and a new thing that we must keep. And I was interested, I had a very interesting class one time when I was in the Czech Republic. It was at the Hussite faculty of Charles University, which is a national university in Czech Republic. It's in Prague. And the Hussite faculty was that faculty had existed all through the communist years. They had seen the de-Christianization of the Czech Republic. Almost nobody went to church in the Czech Republic. We were very similar, and the churches were empty. And so the Hussite faculty had been very concerned with trying to find a way to think about the Christian message in a absolutely post-Christian culture, in a science, in a culture that's organized according to the principles of science. And so they're very interested in process theology, and we'll talk about process theology in one of our engagement sessions. I'm going to put that off. But this class on process theology was based on a very simple question. Supposing there's life on another planet, which is almost impossible not to suppose is actually true. It's almost certain that there has to be life on some other planet out there. Supposing that there's sentient life on another planet, and people can understand sense the same way that humans can understand sense, or even more than we can understand sense, because we don't know what we're evolving into. Who knows what we're going to be in 10,000 years, or what Homo sapiens are going to be in 20,000 years, or 100,000 years, or a million years. Who knows what we're going to be? And could creatures already be like that out there in outer space? What is the gospel to Lisa 581? See if there are sentient creatures on that planet. Is there anything transferable from the message of Jesus on Lisa 581? And that's the basis of our entire class. You tell me what is good news to other sentient creatures in the universe. And can your God handle life on other planets? Or do you have to throw a whole lot of things away about your notion of God in order to handle life on the planets? This is very interesting. And after that class, I had a brand new understanding of God. Because to me, the Christian message that God is love. Love defined as that connectional power that brings things together into shalom, that brings things together into order, is very real in the universe. Things are not getting simpler. They're getting more and more and more complex. At least on our planet, they are getting more and more and more complex, more and more beautiful, more and more capable of integration. What are we going to become 10,000 years from now, Homo sapiens? Do you know? What do you hope we become? Because what you hope we become is what God is calling us to. just for humans or for Earth, because that's kind of species-centric, isn't it? But what is the word of God for all creation, all of the universe? Is there sense to this? Is there sense to the whole thing we can't even know now? If there is, what is that sense? What are we for? Where are we going? What are we being called to? I can never be the Lord. God is love the same way I've ever been. I can never be the same way I've ever been. That God is all compassion, bringing things into perfect show. Never be the same way. Sometimes when we think that when we throw out theological baggage, we're losing stuff, and there's mourning that's attached with it. You know, I remember mourning, learning about universe like carbon created in 7 days. I started as a kid. But the reality of it is this. When we're open to really think about what is essential and to interact with what is rather than what we think is, then when we let go of the theological baggage that keeps us back, that cleaning out of the closets actually is very helpful in teaching us what we really need to value, what God really values. And it becomes gain for us because it reminds us of what is of infinite worth. And in that way, it connects us more, not less, to our tradition. So we can look back into the tradition and we can see the baggage for what the baggage was, and we can see where people were from where they were, but we can still see within them the Lord of God, calling us holy, because that is there. And so it doesn't make any sense for me sometimes. People say, do you believe in God? For me, that question implies all sorts of stuff like, do you believe in that we're going somewhere? That there's sense to any of this? And my answer is, yes! We must be going somewhere, and there must be sense to this. And I am going to participate in it. I'm not going to sit back and just watch it happen to me. I'm going to be a part of it. And that's good news. Well, let's pray, and we'll see my questions. Loving God, help us to let go of our theological baggage. I have so much fun to let go of, and only you know. Help me not to be afraid of that, but rather to see it as a game. In Jesus' name.